Hey, it's Mike Robb. There's a good chance that something Scott Aukerman has written over the past few months has made you laugh. We'll talk to him about Comedy Bang Bang and writing for President Obama. Plus, investigating serious crime is now a daily job. We'll talk to the guys behind Crime Watch Daily and investigate the investigators. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
Scott Aukerman is in the business of creating the funny, from Comedy Bang Bang on IFC to writing for the Emmys to so many other projects that, well, you might not even know about yet. Scott began his career on Public Access, but before that...
You know, I really was interested in radio when I was growing up. I think about 10 years old, I really fell in love with the radio, and I would make fake radio shows where I would tape songs off the radio and then do my own DJ stuff with, kind of my own... my own sketches and crazy voices and stuff like that. So, and then I also would call into the radio and do sort of sketches and character voices when I was 12 on Kiss FM here locally. So it was a lot of that. It was really just like liking to be silly and trying to just being fascinated with show business.
So what was the first writing job you got paid for?
The first thing I got paid for was something called the Second City Naked News, which was was back, it was on the MSN network when, kind of computers were newer. That this was 1996, I believe, maybe 97. And it was like a daily sort of audio show where we wrote daily topical jokes. So it was interesting. I'd never done anything like it before, writing daily topical jokes. But it was a cool skill to sort of learn how to do, and was something that I kind of like, when I was working on the Emmys over the past months, I was like, wow, I haven't really done daily topical jokes in a long time, and it was cool to kind of get back in touch with that.
Scott was behind the writing team for this year's Emmy broadcast, which is no small feat considering the fact they had to keep the jokes current almost right up until airtime. How tough was that?
You know, it wasn't really a very high-pressure-filled job, to be quite frank, and that's all due to Andy Samberg, who hosted. He's not really a pressure guy. He has a lot of confidence, and he likes a calm environment and a fun environment. And, that's one reason why I think he wanted to hire us, is he is a big fan of Comedy Bang Bang. He's, my friend and Neil Campbell's friend, and he's been on the set, and he knows it's not a pressure environment, and, we deliver while still having fun. But that said, it is a little bit of pressure. We, like you said, we were writing even that afternoon and right up until showtime, we were fixing and tweaking jokes. And so it's definitely an interesting experience. It's not what we do on my show, which I think is why it was fun for my staff to do. It's cool. I mean, it's definitely like cool to stretch different muscles. That's why, I like my show, Comedy Bang Bang, to be different than Between Two Ferns. Between Two Ferns is like kind of nasty, and we do slams, and Comedy Bang Bang is more fun. It's just fun as an artist to kind of like write and perform to different things.
So where did the concept for Comedy Bang Bang come from?
Well, the podcast, the basic premise of the podcast is the same as the TV show, which is it's a talk show. I'm the host, and I interview celebrities, and I also interview comedians who are portraying fake celebrities or weird people. They're in character. So that's what they both share. I think the differences are the podcast is like a 90-minute free-form, totally improvised conversation, and we just kind of see where it all goes. And the television show is a little more scripted, and it's still improvised, but we have a lot of sketches, and there's a narrative and a almost sitcom story around it. So I like that they're different because, if I was just doing the podcast but with cameras on it, there'd be kind of no point to it because I already do the podcast. They're a little bit different, but they're thematically linked, and they're linked by the fact that I'm the host. As far as how did it come to be, it was just a really weird experience where the heads of IFC, I got to know them, and they were fans of the podcast, and they just asked if I wanted to make a pilot for a talk show, and I did, and they liked it.
Scott's had some pretty great guests so far. Anybody he'd really like to get on the show?
Yeah, I've had one of my all-time idols on the show. I kind of view Comedy Bang Bang as a combination between Pee-wee's Playhouse and the early David Letterman show. And I had Pee-wee on the show. He was he guested in the second season and did all new Pee-wee Herman bits on the show. And so, you know, I would love to follow that up by having David Letterman. He's retired, and, you know, if he'd love to make the trip out to L.A., I'd love to have him.
Another one of Scott's projects is Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, who made a lot of buzz this year by having President Obama as a guest. I asked him what that was like.
It was interesting. I mean, you know, yeah, I wrote it with Zach and some other people, and I directed it. And, you know, it was definitely a little more of a high-pressure gig than normally doing it. When we normally do the Between Two Ferns videos, it's just kind of us in a room, a very small room with the celebrity, and we have more time, and we're just sort of feeling it out and testing stuff out. And weirdly, the last two that we've done, President Obama and Brad Pitt, we had less time than we normally do. I think we had about a half hour apiece with both of them, and so it was really, you know, kind of a more high pressure, all right, let's get this done and let's really try to deliver, which weirdly then, you know, led to two of our bigger, more popular episodes, and they both won Emmys, so maybe we should do them in less time. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting situation. I mean, I had to just put on my director hat and not be intimidated and just get the work done and make sure the video came out all right. And that was what Zach and I were really focused on, was, you know, make sure the video comes out well, make sure we do a good job, and, you know, not be intimidated like we normally would be.
So what's the biggest challenge, writing for himself or for other people?
I love writing for other people. I love doing the Zach thing and the Emmys with Andy Samberg. Those were both great because so many people watch them and they're so popular. You know, when I write Comedy Bang Bang for myself, when I'm just doing it for myself, it is more of a niche cult show. You know, I mean, Andy Samberg and Zach Galifianakis are stars, and I am not a star. So it's definitely more fulfilling to write Comedy Bang Bang, which is a passion project in which, you know, I feel like every part of me goes into. But it's also a lot of fun to do something like the Emmys or Between Two Ferns when you know tens of millions of people are watching them.
Check out all Scott's latest projects right now. Easy to find at comedybangbang.com. No more Fantastic Four from Fox. All that and more as we look at what's going on in pop culture. Boom Studios, through their kids line, Kaboom, have a couple of new additions coming from the Cartoon Network. There's a new Steven Universe miniseries and a Clarence Chicken Phantom graphic novel, both to be in stores early in 2016. More positive things happening in the TV universe. CBS has given five more episodes to the new Code Black series. That'll bring it to a total of 18 for them. And there have been five more episodes given to both iZombie and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend over on the CW network, bringing both those to around 18 episodes for the season so far. Mockingbird gets her own series, this time again written by New York Times bestselling author Chelsea Kane, who did the 50th anniversary one-shot for the character. The first issue will be in stores early in the new year, following, of course, her appearance on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. every week, and a Mockingbird pilot that ABC ordered last summer that should get underway sometime in time for pilot season. Dummy, you're not surprised at this. Fox has pulled the plug on a second Fantastic Four movie. Originally, they'd earmarked July 14th, 2017 as a date for the sequel. However, that's not going to happen. In the meantime, a lot of speculation as to what Fox will do next with the Fantastic Four, or if the property will revert back to Marvel. Looks like Kevin Bacon is set to star in and produce a new reboot of Tremors for television. It's the cult film from 1990 that he starred in. It's in development right now from Universal Cable, and we should hear more on that soon after the first of the year. The Point Radio. Bruce Wayne will tell you that crime rarely takes a day off, and now investigating those crimes is also a daily thing with a new show called Crime Watch Daily. Hosts Matt Duran and Andrea Isom are on the case. And Andrea told me what the show's all about.
It is different. It is edgy. It is informative. We are tackling crime from every single aspect. And it's one of those things that people have told me, so it's not just me saying it. People have told me, viewers, that they intended on watching and checking it out, and now it's must-see. They cannot not catch an episode of Crime Watch Daily. They're addicted to it, and they're addicted to it because they want to help us fight crime. And I can tell that is legitimate, and these people are really invested on making a difference. So we've got a team out there across the country trying to help us make a difference and get some justice for a lot of people.
So I asked Matt where they find the cases they investigate, and how do they choose the ones that they want to get on the air?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question. It's the whole gamut of crimes, and unfortunately, there's no shortage of it across America at the moment. So it's murder mysteries, it's undercover investigations, it's justice and safety awareness campaigns a lot of the time. We're breathing life into cold cases and speaking up for victims' rights and busting scammers as well. So it's that whole range of things. But in terms of, to your point, how we actually select the stories, well, there needs to be a reason for doing them rather than to just try and instill fear into people in their lounge rooms across America. It's more so, okay, is there an offender still on the run, or is there someone that needs to be brought to justice? And if so, can we help in some way by sort of trying to mobilise these armchair detectives across America that might have seen something? Because a lot of the time, the criminals, the offender, will cross state lines. And, you know, that's the beauty of having a national daily one-hour show, is that we can, get tips from people in one state where the crime may well have happened somewhere else. So being able to shine that national spotlight on these crimes, we're finding to be really, really effective when it comes to trying to elicit information that might help police.
With a show like this, it's tough to walk the line with the audience between information and fear. How do they handle that?
Well, you're going to have some of that. I mean, there are stories that we have to do because if we don't, who will? There are people out there who just want some answers. I mean, Matt and I, all the correspondents across from families who the grief is unthinkable, and all they want is simple justice. So those are tough stories, and what's happened behind what those people face every day is scary. And it is fearful. But knowing those things, we hope is that people walk away from those stories, maybe making some different decisions, maybe incorporating some different guidelines or things inside their home and things that make them and their family safer. And it's not just about those stories that maybe may raise fear, but it's also awareness. I mean, we do social experiments. One we did where we put some people in a room to see just how easy it would be to have someone go in there and spike their drinks. And the alarming outcry of it was unreal. People just were kind of upset at themselves that they let their guards down and that they aren't as vigilant as they thought they were. So those people walked away with an incredible takeaway that we all need to be smarter and we all need to make better choices. So those things are informative for people, and it's not fear-based, but it's also walking into your society a different person armed with more knowledge. And also for the holidays coming up, we all just have to be safer. The criminals, feed on this time. We're all being festive. They're trying to pounce. And so we just have to make better decisions. Our website has a host of information on what happens when people are out shopping and they, dive in front of one another. And the stampedes that happen, and you've seen that on videos across the country, that people are just outrageous when it comes to Black Friday. But we also have some really good tips for men and women alike and what to do when you're out shopping as far as where to keep your purse, where to keep that wallet, how to hide your credit card information so the bad guys don't get a handle on it. So, yes, there are things that are going to scare people, but sometimes that fear makes you be a little smarter the next day, and that's what we're hoping for.
So what are some cases that are coming up?
What we've got, but to be honest, to get to the heart of it, Mike, I think is that we've assembled one of the best investigative crime teams in the country from the producers and onwards. And what that means is that we're actually tracking down victims that sometimes the police don't know about. And as a result of that, too, we're starting to piece together some links to some crimes that may not have been made previously. So in answer to your question, we've got, for example, a story coming up which looks at a prolific, terrifying serial killer who was active in Phoenix, in Arizona. I've had some extensive interviews with that serial killer's ex-wife, who's given us some really intriguing, albeit terrifying and horrific detail about the sorts of things that he was telling her behind the scenes, which we've then relayed to police. And I can tell you it's resulted in police moving forward on some new charges linking this guy to cold cases in the past, which we are really, really hopeful may help to bring some answers to the families of the victims in a lot of these cases too. So you'll see those sorts of things. You'll see social awareness campaigns like Andrea Isom has touched on in terms of these demonstrations, the safety awareness demonstrations, how people can protect themselves at an ATM should they ever be robbed or held at knife point, the same with carjackings. So you can expect a whole range of things. It's not just the same formulaic sort of crime TV show that people might be used to in the past where you have to invest, a full hour just to see who did it. I mean, we're giving you four or five of those stories, sometimes more in the hour. And each episode, we think and we hope, is really educational.
There are new episodes of Crime Watch daily every Monday through Friday. Check your local listings for the time and channel in your area.
The Point.
That does it for right now. We'll cook up a brand new podcast for you and have it ready on websites like comicmix.com, also on getthepointradio.com and trektvnews.com as well, plus in the iTunes podcast directory. It'll be ready in just a few days. In the meantime, follow everything going on with the Pop Culture Upload on great radio stations all over the world. If you're not hearing it, find out why. And follow us on Twitter under PC Upload, on Facebook under The Point Radio, and on Instagram under Pop Culture Upload. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. See you back here in a few days.
Get the-